the Reformation in the Christian context went back to the original founders, the apostles. Now, if you apply this model to Islam, where would we go back to the original founders of Islam?
Sociologist Dr. Alvin Schmidt, author of The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West.
You'd go to Muhammad, the man who was in many ways Islam's first terrorist, who conquered the world by the sword, and who said, I'm the last of the prophets, and I'm sent with the sword. And to think that we can have reformation like we had in the Christian context is a specious argument.
You can meet and hear Dr. Alvin Schmidt making the case against Islam on June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. It's the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Check it out at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Opening verses of morning prayer, one of these daily prayer offices that we've been talking about here in the course of our series with Pastor Will Whedon. And it's one of those ways that the church opens the day, or at least the way we think about opening the day. When we ask God to open our lips, He answers that prayer, and He answers it with the words that He Himself has first spoken. Those words then again come out of our mouth. Now, we've looked at the various daily prayer offices, and one that we looked at last time, Matins, is another version of a morning prayer. Is there anything else to be learned? We'll answer that question in the course of our conversation with Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. In the second hour of the program on this Thursday afternoon, May the 23rd, will be our Pastor's Roundtable. Pastor David Kine, Pastor Joel Frischi. We'll be talking about John chapter 3, the first 15 verses. You must be born again. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. Now, in this first hour, listeners with the best questions or comments on morning prayer will receive the CD, Morning and Evening, the Music of Lutheran Daily Prayer. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc, and our Facebook fan page where we have left space for your questions or comments on morning prayer for Pastor Whedon, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Will Whedon is Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Will, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, thank you, Todd. A joy to be with you guys.
We spent a lot of time last time in our series talking about Matins, kind of the standard morning prayer office. And here we are at morning prayer. Sounds a lot like the same kind of a service. Is there anything more here?
Yeah, there is more, but it certainly is. Morning prayer is simply a version of Matins that was composed for use in, you know, mid-20th century. And it kind of betrays in its music the origins from whence it came. Unlike the Matin service, which had a more it used music from a variety of ages in the church, this is a through composed service of pieces for intended for use in mid-20th century.
So what are the advantages of that, just speaking in terms of kind of doing an it's not an adaptation, we'll just call it a version of Matins? What are the advantages of doing that is set to music that is of our time, as opposed to one that has kind of grown together organically over a long, long time?
Well, I think that
advantages and disadvantages.
Yeah, the advantage to it is that the music, just musically, it all holds together from start to finish. It's very much of a piece, and that's always very, very nice. You don't have music that's coming at you from many different centuries, which in the church we come to expect and don't think much of, but if you're coming in from the outside, you know, it can be a little jarring to hear the, you know, the juxtaposition of a very ancient chant with an Anglican chant and then off to a modern hymn. I mean, it's a little bit jarring. This service, though, like the evening prayer service, tended to when you know, sort of in the middle of the 20th century was a time that the liturgical attic of the church was being explored, and there were things that people looked at then and wondered, oh, you know what, I wonder if that might be worthy of pulling back to use for our day. And so they pulled something out and dusted it off and brought it back. We're going to talk about that at the end of this particular section on morning prayer.
So what's happening here in this service? We've talked about the themes of these various prayer offices. Refresh our memory in terms of the morning services, what their theme is.
Sure. The theme of matins or morning prayer is joy, especially the joy of the resurrection. This is what fills the service, animates it. It is an explosion of praise and thanks to God at the start of not just a new day, but seeing the start of every new day as a resurrection day, an Easter day, particularly when these offices are used on Sunday morning. That's when that really comes into its own.
We have... I want to revisit some of these opening words. Oh, Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. And we have talked about this. I don't know if it's been in the course of our series on the prayer offices. The way that the term praise has been, in a lot of ways, its definition has changed in 20th and 21st century American Christianity especially. And I can't help but think about the texts that we had in church for Pentecost Sunday, where here are all these people, these devout Jews from all over the globe. They're in Jerusalem for the celebration of an old Pentecost, a 1,400-year-old mm-hmm. Pentecost celebration. And then they hear the disciples speaking all in their own tongues and talking about the wonderful works of God.
Yeah, praising God with proclaiming the great things God has done.
Why is it important that we understand praise as more than just kind of affirming God in the things he already kind of knows about himself?
Well, we learn how to praise correctly from the Word of God itself. And the book of praise, above all other books in the Scriptures, is the book of Psalms. So it's literally not at all an unexpected thing that the church fills her people's mouths constantly with the language of the book of Psalms. And so this is exactly how we're going to start out here in morning prayer with the words of Psalm 51. It's remarkable, remarkable. I'm going to proclaim the great things God has done. That's what they were doing on Pentecost, right? Psalm 51 is all about a confession of sin.
Oh, yeah,
and God's forgiveness. Open my mouth and my mouth will show forth your praise. Well, you showed forth the praise. David showed forth God's praise there by confessing that he was in the right about everything and that David was in the wrong about everything.
I mean, this is his great psalm written after his he made it onto the cover of he didn't make it onto the cover of the tabloids, but he certainly should have.
Yeah, yeah. If there were underground tabloids, he'd have been on the cover, right? There he is, the great adulterer, murderer, exposed for being, you know, the great king of Israel having a tremendous fall. And yet Nathan said to him, and the Lord also has taken away your sin. You shall not die. And he struggled to hold on to that word. It was after Nathan had come to him that the psalmist composed. After God had spoken the word of forgiveness, that David still makes this plea and is struggling to hold on to the word of forgiveness from God's own lips. And
we'll contrast that, if you would, with what David had just done. Because when Nathan comes to him, he says, "You are the man. You're guilty of all the things that my little parable just told you." But then he says, on behalf of the Lord, "You've despised the Lord in front of all of Israel." What does that mean? And then he turns around and despises himself in Psalm 51.
Yeah, he's caused the Lord's name to be ridiculed because, you know, the king is the representative of God for the people of Israel. And as David, he had received these tremendous promises from God. And having received, you know, the Lord's going to build a house for his name. I mean, through the house of David, the Messiah himself will come into human flesh. And David kind of despises all of that and causes it to be scorned in Israel. And so when David comes to his confession, he is very much despising himself. He admits, you know, I was conceived in sin, you know, brought forth in iniquity, conceived in sin. From the moment my mother bore me, I was a sinner. And when he turns to God, he says, you know, create in me a clean heart. That's so significant. Para, you know, create. You can't clean this one up. You need to make a new one. Give me a new heart, oh God. Create a new heart. And then at the end, you know, he's talking about if you open my lips will declare your praise, and you will enable me to offer a right sacrifice. You know, the sacrifices of God are broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, oh God, you will not despise. And he's at the end of this psalm, he has all the people of Jerusalem joining him in the praise to the Lord, because this is the Lord who is gracious and merciful and abounding in steadfast love. And it is his delight to forgive and wipe away sin. I just find it hugely significant that the church every morning takes the words of the Bible's most famous murderer, adulterer, and puts them on our lips as, you know, O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth will declare your praise. In other words, it's going to be you alone are holy, not us.
Why is it, with only about a minute before we take our first break, why is that a good way to begin the day? Why is it the good way for the church to open the day?
The church needs to begin her day with a rock-bottom confession of reality. And the reality is we are sinners through and through, and we have a God who is mercy through and through. And for the church to confess that and put it on its lips is to declare the truth of God at the threshold of the day. That is what gives him praise and glory. That's the delight of the church to join in that.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. It's part 6 of our weekly series on the daily prayer offices. On this Thursday, May the 23rd, we're going through morning prayer. If you have questions or comments, we are giving away a copy of Evening and Morning. It's a CD of Lutheran Daily Prayer to the listener with the best question or comment. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet @issuesetc, or you can go to our Facebook fan page where we have left space for your questions and comments on morning prayer for Pastor Will Wheaton, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. When we come back, we're going to look a little bit more at the way that this morning prayer opens. There are significant words: give glory to God, our light and our life, and a call to worship back to the Psalms. I'm Todd Wilkham. We'll be right back with Pastor Will Wheaton.
There's no question that the kids have been completely lost in the shuffle during this whole 40-year war.
Suzanne Venker, author of The Flip Side of Feminism, on the impact of feminism on children.
There's no discussion of what children's needs are. You're not even allowed to discuss children's needs because, of course, the engine of the feminist movement is dependent on abortion and daycare. Those are the two things that remove children or babies from the equation so that we can achieve this faux version of equality. And without those two things, they have no movement. So there is no acknowledgement of what children's rights and or needs are in this discussion. It is solely about adult needs.
You can hear and meet Suzanne Venker, Making the Secular Case Against Feminism, at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support. The Issues Etc. 300. That is a bit of the Venite from Morning Prayer. That's the service we're looking at here in the sixth part of our series on the daily prayer offices with Pastor Will Whedon on this Thursday afternoon, May the 23rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Let's see what Joe has to say. He's listening in Indianapolis. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Pastor Wilkin, Pastor Whedon.
Hey, Joe.
I just had a question. Forgive me if I don't get it out right. But as a person who works third shift, I consider morning time to be 11 o'clock at night when I wake up. So what would you suggest for third shifters who wants to do the daily prayer office? Should they start with compline, even though it's the close of the day, or should we start with morning prayer since we consider that morning time for us?
It's a great,
your thoughts.
Great question, Joe. Thanks for listening in Indianapolis.
That is an unbelievably great question, Joe. My inclination is because the hours are tied so much to the actual time in the world that it would still be better to observe them as they're, you know, I wouldn't put this for matins and for vespers or evening prayer. I would do them at their proper time, but I would still pray compline right before I went to bed.
Because
it's the bedtime prayer. Yeah, it's more specific to bedtime than it is to night. But the other two are definitely hinged on the setting and rising of the sun. And that happens no matter what you're doing at the moment. So that's my counsel, Joe. It's good to hear from you.
Joe, if you would stay on hold, we're going to send you a CD morning and evening. And thank you very much for your question. Okay, before we get to the Venite, which we talked a bit about in Matins, there are these invitations. There's a fancier word for it.
Invitatory.
Invitatory. Yeah. Has the syllables in the wrong place for my mouth, but and it's the one that's in the book is simply "Give glory to God, our light and our life. Oh, come, let us worship Him." And that's the common one,
right.
One that you would do ordinarily.
Yeah,
but there's a whole slew of these things, aren't there?
Yeah, there is. And if sadly you have to have the altar book or the Treasury of Daily Prayer to get the other invitatories. But what these things do, and they're so cool. Each invitatory takes It spins the Venite in a different light, providing a different picture of the Christ before whom you are praying it. So let me give you an example. For Advent, behold, the Lord comes to save us. Oh, come, let us worship Him. So what's the picture of Christ returning on the clouds of glory with the angels? And I mean, that's the Christ before whom we then sing, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. You know, we're joining in the whole church as she sees the risen Christ coming in glory and gives Him praise and thanks, okay? That's Advent. Then Christmas, you get, lo, to us the Christ is born. Oh, come, let us worship Him. And you're standing in front of, or maybe kneeling better, in front of the manger, and you see the little one there, and you sing to him, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. You're saying, this Lord, this little baby, He's the great God. He's the great King above all gods, and His hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are His. They belong to this little baby. You see how that changes the Venite? The picture of the Lord before whom you sing it. Similarly, Epiphany. Think of the wise men bowing down before the Christ. And so the Christ has appeared to us. Oh, come, let us worship Him. Literally, when the wise men or the Magi come in, remember, they offer to Christ their gifts and they literally fall down before Him and worship. We come to Lent, and the Lord has redeemed His people. The cross looms huge. And before the crucified, we look at the one hanging on the cross and we say to Him, you know, you are the Lord who holds heaven and earth in your hand. You are the rock of our salvation. Similarly, Holy Week, Christ became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Now the cross is explicit. Oh, come, let us worship Him, the one nailed to the tree. He's the one that we give worship to. Easter, what do you expect? The Lord is risen. Alleluia. Oh, come, let us worship him. So before the one who greets the women outside the tomb with the command of joy, rejoice. And then ascension. The King ascends to heaven. Picture the Christ ascending, and he's the one to whom we sing, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Similarly, when we get to Pentecost, the Spirit of the Lord fills the whole earth. Alleluia. To whom are we singing when we say, O come, let us sing to the Lord? Here, the Holy Spirit is the one that is the key to whom we are crying out this song. Holy Trinity, the Lutheran Service Book did an interesting thing throughout the season of Holy Trinity. Listen to these words and tell me what you think of. For Holy Trinity, the Lord has called us by the gospel. O come, let us worship him. The Lord has gathered us in the true faith, for Trinity 1-8. O come, let us worship him. For Trinity 14-20, the Lord has sanctified us in the true faith. O come, let us worship. What is that?
It's Luther.
It's Luther. It's out of the explanation to the third article, right? You know, what is the Holy Spirit's job? He comes to call, gather, enlighten us in the true faith by the gospel. This is how he does it. So that's built into the praise there. Most curious and wonderful to me are the way it closes out. I mean, so toward the end of the Trinity season, we have St. Michael's and all angels, and of course we have all saints looming at the end there. So we have glorious is God with his angels and saints, and this picture of the heavenly host, you know, out of Revelation, everybody gathered together, their angels, saints, all falling down, worshiping the Lamb, and O come, let us worship him. And then finally, the very end of the church here, the Lord will come again in glory. It sort of meets at the end, because remember that actually originally Advent was longer. And so it's just really the two parts to, you know, separate. They meet together there at the end and the beginning, both focused on the return of Christ. But all of this says a way then of putting before the people a picture and image of Christ or the Holy Spirit that is the one to whom we are confessing as the Lord and whom we are giving our worship to.
It raises two things. First of all, if this is, we talk about these as daily prayer offices, it doesn't allow the believer, let's say he's doing this at home, private devotion,
right,
something like that. The believer's always in being reminded of what this particular time of the church year
right.
is bringing.
Right.
And that's, I think sometimes we think of church year stuff as punctuated by Sundays, but it sounds like this really is how we live the church here every day.
Right. It anchors the daily worship in the year of grace. And yet notice how beautifully this is done. The leader's line may change with the church year here, but the response of everybody else is always the same. The response of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, the response of the gift of the Holy Spirit is always, oh, come, let us worship him. You know, this is what it's all been done for.
It also shows kind of the wisdom of the church in using, what psalm is the Venite? Is it Psalm?
Psalm 95.
Psalm 95. Pulling out this psalm that fits no matter when you're singing it.
Yeah.
And it has kind of something to say and says it differently with exactly the same words,
yeah,
depending on the time of the church year that you're singing.
And the time of the church year literally just changes the picture of Christ that's behind the singing of it. I mean, picture singing these words on, say, the baptism of our Lord. What's going to stand out? The sea is his, for he made it. You know, the one who now submits to the water, he's the one who made it all. It's all his. Beautiful thing. And similarly, when you're thinking of the cross, in his hand are the depths of the earth. There Christ goes into the depths for us. It just all the pictures of Christ that sort of fold one after the other across the time of the church here are just brought to focus by the invitatory, and then they pull out its meaning in the Venite.
What does that say about how something that can be so, I think whoever has used Matins or morning prayer, even a short time in their lives, most of us in our childhood, have this memorized down flat. And if you said, do you know Psalm 95? They'd say, no, but I know the Venite.
Yeah.
What does that say about staying with the same words, especially in a culture that says, we need to have constant variety. We need to have a constant turnover, change in what happens.
Well, if you constantly change the words, what you cannot do is have them stored away in your heart. And the liturgy is designed to help people store away these wonderful passages from God's Word into their hearts, to nail them down in them. And so the music is designed to write the words onto the heart. It's funny how even if you have to try to recall the text, sometimes you can't do it very well, but you can still sing it easy. I mean, if you start singing it, you're like, oh yeah, I know how that goes. I can sing it. I see this all the time in the divine service with the words of institution. People always say, how did the words of institution go? It's like, I couldn't do it right. And you say, well, wait a minute. If I said, our Lord Jesus, they, oh yeah, I can do that. And they could do the whole thing then. That's how it is with these great canticles, this psalm. And I think this is key to getting what was called the cathedral service, if you will, the service that was for the parish, not just for the monks. That had one psalm that was done over and over and over and over again. That's Psalm 95.
Does it also, and I want to come back when we come back from the break and talk about the psalms, but with only about a minute here, does it also say something about, in answer to the anxiety that Christians often feel about their devotional life? That this kind of does it for you.
Sure.
It's good right out of the box.
It's good right out of the box. That's a good way of putting it. You can take this up and pray this right away. Again, I've done this repeatedly. I'm going to do it again. The book Treasury of Daily Prayer or the app Pray Now enable you to simply make these orders be a piece of your daily devotion in life in the most simple, easy to follow way. Just cannot encourage our hearers enough to check out this wonderful discipline of daily prayer.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest on this Thursday, May the 23rd. It's part 6 of our weekly series on the daily prayer offices. We're talking about morning prayer today. And when we come back, we're going to turn to some of the other psalms that morning prayer would recommend for our devotion. Stay tuned.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the 6 chief parts and the 7 liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A while back, I told you about a judge in Reno, Nevada, who looked like he was going to force an abortion and sterilization on a developmentally challenged woman who was pregnant. The young woman, Elisa, was against the abortion, as were both her parents. Her mom and dad had even arranged for a couple to adopt the baby. That wasn't good enough for the judge, but eventually he relented and backed off. Maybe it's because he had no authority in the first place to force these medical procedures, including killing an innocent unborn baby on the woman. Recently, little Sierra Marie was born healthy, and a loving adoptive family has been selected. Eliza's dad thanks all who rallied to their cause, which helped save this precious granddaughter. Life won out in the end.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Cathedral Choral Society of Washington National Cathedral with the Pentecost hymn, Come Down, O Love Divine. It's playing right now at our 24/7 sacred music station called Lutheran Public Radio. Here's an email we received today from a listener in Denmark. Thank you kindly for the wonderful classics and 2,000-year-old historical church hymnody. Recently, my wife and I hit one of those marriage bumps. I had a hard time focusing at work. Your program provided me with the emotional calm, knowing that in the middle of pain, His true love and grace is still at work for us in our lives and His church. Thank you for making this available to Danish work hours. That's the good thing about Lutheran Public Radio. It's 24/7. It's worldwide. It's absolutely free. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. It's part six of our weekly series on the daily prayer offices. Today, morning prayer. This brings us to the Venite, is kind of that opening
first psalm.
It's the first psalm, the standard psalm, and then comes other
and some
psalms.
More. Yeah. And I don't know, it's maybe one of the treasures that's hidden away in Lutheran service book, but if you turn to page 304 in your Lutheran service book, you'll find a table of psalms for daily prayer. And the nice thing is here, these psalms are all in the hymnal. So all the psalms that are listed in the table here are in the hymnal. Unfortunately, does not contain all 150 psalms, but all the psalms that are listed in this table are included in the hymnal. What I find particularly interesting in the psalm table is the little note above it, which tells you that in addition to the psalm that's provided for each morning, there's just one other psalm for each morning, and it depends on what time of the church year you're in. I mean, there's a 4-week cycle generally, and then special psalms for Lent and Easter and Advent and then the time of Christmas. But at the end of doing that special psalm, it says that every day during the week you can use one of the psalms that end out the Psalter called the Laudate Psalm. So you can use Psalm 145 as your psalm on Monday. And again, just let me give you a few of the words that sort of ring through this kind of psalm. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. You get a flavor of what the psalm's about with that. It's one of my favorites, I have to confess. Then Psalm 146, what's it going to be about? Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. What's it all about? Life is about singing the praise of God. Well, maybe we're done with that idea, right? Psalm 147 comes, and the first half of this is used Wednesday. Praise the Lord. It is good to sing praises to our God. It's fitting. It's pleasant. A song of praise is fitting. And then picking up at verse 12 on Thursday, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. And then it tells you why you should praise him, all the great things he does for us. And then Psalm 148 would be the psalm on Friday. Praise the Lord from the heaven. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. You know, all creation gets called into that. Psalm 149, the psalm for Saturday. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the God. That you're beginning to know the pattern here. And then, of course, the final psalm on Sundays from 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. And I've got to point out, this psalm is so great as the summary. Listen to this. First of all, it tells you who to praise. Praise the Lord. And then it says where to praise him. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. And then it says why. Why do you praise him? Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And then how. Praise him with trumpet. Praise him with lute and with harp, with tambourine and dance, with strings and pipe, with sounding cymbals and loud clashing cymbals. And then finally, who? Who should get in on this praise? everything that has breath, let it praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this grand culmination of the Psalter comes to culmination on the Saturday with the use of morning prayer. So these psalms keep you as a Christian anchored in the praise of God. How do you praise him? You praise him best with the words he's given you to use to praise him.
Okay, that kind of raises a question, because someone's doing this morning prayer, and the as it always is, the clock is ticking, and they might be tempted to skip the psalms. Now, certainly, if they have the venite, they've mm-hmm. said what needs to be said, they prayed what needs to be prayed, kind of like the Lord's Prayer. There's nothing wrong if that's all there is. But talk about these daily prayer offices as ways to not just teach us to, but kind of put us into the habit of praying the Psalter in particular.
Yeah, the Psalms are hard prayers to get your you know, they are strong meat.
They and are, and they're tough, and they're. You can get lost in just
one
of them.
You can. And so the way that they're lined out here in this this pattern of praying, you have the one that never changes. Okay, so that one's going to become part of your thinking, your praying very fast, you know, the Venite. But then you have the one that changes all the time. That's the one in the middle, changes all the time. And those are the ones that are harder to pray because they're not as well memorized. They're harder to deal with. Some, I mean, every once in a while, Psalm 23 shows up in there. And okay, you can fly through that. But you got some other challenging ones in there. But then think about this. A prayer, a psalm that you pray every week, but not every day of the week. How long does it take you to become as familiar with that? Well, it will become seven times more difficult than the one that you use all the time. But if you use them regularly, it's much more easier to get a handle on these psalms at the end of the Psalter, Psalm 145 through the end, than ones that are occurring only periodically. And I think that's a really good balance for letting these things dwell within you. I mean, it helps you gradually expand. And I want to stress, these ones that you use every week, but not every day of the week, but every week, they're not hard. So Psalm 145 through 150 is not going to have anything in there that's going to have you going, huh? I mean, there's no little blessed is he who takes your little ones and dashes and bashes their head on the rock. I mean, that's not in there in these sections, right?
Yeah, where you're saying, what in the world am I praying for?
What is that? What am I asking for? But you don't have that in these that you use all the time. And they will help orient your life toward being able to understand the more difficult psalms.
Okay, now that leads to another question. Is the regular prayer of the Psalter, which these daily prayer offices
push you towards.
They yeah. push you toward. Mm-hmm. Is it, in a way, kind of the primer for learning to pray all of Scripture? I mean, one of the great observations of more than one great theologian is that theology is intended. Good theology can be prayed.
Yes,
and that there's no better theology than Holy Scripture itself, teaching us to pray all of Scripture.
Right, and Luther so very helpfully noted that the Psalter is but a summary of the entire Scripture. Everything in the rest of the Scripture is contained in the Book of Psalms. And as we learn to pray them, in fact, that's another really great book, is Luther on the Psalms, just rich. I mean, he lived in this praying of the Psalms, first as a monk, and then as just a professor and doctor of the church. He continued to live and pray these Psalms over and over and over again, and the insight that he has into them is really amazing. That's how they are. The more you let them live in you and you live in them, the more light they unfold. You will find that you will love pretty soon. They're with the only prayers that you really want to pray. Everything else is fine. You know, you can say the other prayers, but you realize all of the other prayers are lightweight compared to these psalms. The psalms are where you want to finally live your life.
Have we unintentionally kind of done a disservice to all of this by, and we have rightly emphasized that Scripture is inerrant and it's infallible, and we've defended the Bible, you know, tooth and nail, and as we should have. Almost for its academic truth.
Yeah, I mean, to treat it that way, yeah.
Those things are true, but has that sold the Bible short?
Yes.
In what it does in the life of the Christian?
Yeah, I am always struck when I read the Reformation writers about how they never let, I mean, it's never just academic, never. The Word of God is always given to shape your prayer and to shape your living. Chemnitz is huge on this. Gerhardt is huge on this. You know, they'll say, so what's the use of this doctrine? What's the use of this doctrine for your prayer? That's literally a question that especially Melanchthon loves to ask. And you see this constant use of the scripture in the presence of God. It's recognized that he's the one here. The Blessed Trinity is speaking to us here, and we speak back to him on the basis of what he says to us. And he teaches us here to ask for big, good gifts and to do it in the confidence that in Jesus our prayers are heard. It's a fabulous way.
One other question in that vein before we take a break. We've often talked about the Lord's Prayer here, and that certainly has its place in the daily prayer offices too. But we have assured our listeners again and again that the Lord's Prayer is the perfect prayer,
mm-hmm.
and that in the Lord's Prayer, everything that is needful is asked for. And since it comes from Christ, we know that this is a prayer he answers. We have that assurance. Should we say the same thing about the Psalms too?
Yeah. In fact, one of the most fascinating little books you'll ever read on the Psalms is by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And Bonhoeffer throws out this really wonderful idea about the Psalms. He says that all the Psalms can easily be divided into the seven petitions of the Lord's Prayer. The Psalter itself is nothing but the praying of the Lord's Prayer. I thought that was fabulous.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We'll take another break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation on morning prayer as part of our sixth part of our weekly series on the daily prayer offices. 1-877-623-6943 is our call-in number. 10 more minutes with Pastor Wheaton. Still plenty of time to take your questions and comments. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or you can leave a question or comment for Pastor Will Wheaton at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. In hour two of Issues Etc., it'll be our pastor's roundtable. We're going to be looking at John chapter 3, the first 15 verses. This is Jesus by night with Nicodemus, who is, I guess we could call him, a skeptical believer, and Jesus is giving him some difficult stuff to chew on. You must be born again. It'll be John chapter 3, verses 1 through 15 with our pastor's roundtable in hour two, Pastor David Kind and Pastor Joel Frischian.
South Africa.
China,
Germany,
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India,
Sweden,
Egypt,
France,
Turkey,
Japan,
Australia,
Canada,
United Kingdom,
Hong Kong,
Austria,
Finland, Malaysia,
Singapore, Bulgaria,
Korea, Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Is baptism a mere symbol of rebirth? Is it a prize for attaining a certain amount of faith? The Issues Etc. book of the month for May is Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. It's written by regular guest Pastor Charles Lehman. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism.
Blessed be the Lord.
That is the first part of the Benedictus from Morning Prayer. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest, the Contrary of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, with that Benedictus. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Will, just a note on what we just heard there, that song of Zechariah from Luke chapter 2, if I'm not mistaken, and how it's being sung. Why did you want our listeners to hear that?
Luke 1. And it is a really great piece. It's, I have to confess, musically, it's my favorite piece of the morning prayer service. Notice that it, quite unusually, it has all the congregation sing the first part, but then the liturgist picks up with the words that, you know, as Zechariah sings this song, remember, he starts out with this explosion of praise to God, but then comes the moment when he looks at the little baby and starts talking to him. And so at that moment, very dramatically in this piece, the liturgist takes over the song. And you, my child, you will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation and the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us. Here's the glorious light that is in Christ breaking out into the world. And he's saying to John the Baptist, he's saying it's going to, you know, to his little baby, you're the presager of the dawn. You're going ahead of the dawn to announce this wonderful shining of the light into our darkness, which will finally, at last, bring the feet of humanity into the way of God's peace. And then everybody explodes again into the Gloria Patri. I think it's very, very cleverly done, and it's a great joy to sing that way.
Now, I want you to say something, because this has been my experience, and that is, I was unfamiliar with this setting for many years, mm-hmm. but I discovered sitting in the pew, as I did for a number of years, rather than in the chancel, that singing this again and again, a couple times a month, maybe once a month, it's amazing how quickly, even kind of the difficult to navigate setting there that some might first find, how much it just stays with you.
Yeah. One of the things that's odd about music in general, I think, is that the more difficult a piece is, the more interesting it is, and that the kind of piece that wears well, a piece that you might like right away when you first hear it, is the kind that when you have to sing it for the 50th time, you just think, oh, I just want this thing to go away and never come back again. Whereas when the piece is a little bit more musically interesting, like this piece, it wears better. And so once you get it down inside of you, it's just a joy to hold on to and sing.
Now, there's something here at the end that in the
hymnal.
Book yeah. I have in front of me, yeah. The hymnal, is just a one sentence in red and leaves me a little lost. And it's at the benediction, the final part of morning prayer, where it says, the service concludes with the following benediction. On Sundays, the Te Deum with Paschal blessing, directing me to a hymn at the back of the hymnal, may conclude the service. What is this?
Yeah, this is where I said they went up into the liturgical attic and sort of pulled something out. This is inspired by the fact that in the Orthodox Church, in the Eastern liturgy, every Sunday's Orthros, the morning prayer, if you will, is always a celebration of the resurrection and includes a reading of the Easter Gospel, invariably part of the service. So this is sort of brought down and put for our use. How this thing runs is like this. A beautiful chant begins. All who have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. Alleluia. You know, reminding us of our baptism, the baptism, and by the way, this also takes place at the font. It's usually where it's to be conducted. So the Paschal candle lighted at the font, you're there, and the remembrance of your baptism at the beginning. And then as soon as this Alleluia is completed, the Easter Gospel is chanted. The one that's printed in the actual altar book is from Luke, But the rubrics note that you can, or at least the rubrics of previous books noted that you could use any of the Easter Gospels fine. You can point any of them out for singing. But they're chanted with great joy. What's the response to the Easter Gospel? What else? You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you. The Te Deum Laudamus, it's again a 20th century modern, it's a consultation of English texts, common text is provided there. And the music by Hiller. It's a fabulous way to end your morning prayer with an explosion of praise in the Te Deum. It's followed immediately by a brief collect. O God, for our redemption, you gave your only Son to suffer death on a cross. And by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, so that we may live with Christ forever, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Jesus' resurrection, your baptism, all the language of the small catechism ringing in there about the death of the old Adam and the rising of the new man, it's all there. The liturgy then closes with a simple blessing. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you. Amen. And when this ending is used on a Sunday morning, it definitely anchors the morning praise, the morning time of thanksgiving and praise to God in Jesus' resurrection, and therefore in your baptism, which joins you to Jesus' resurrection and gives his resurrection and all of its benefits to you as your very own.
Now, we've got a few minutes here. You've mentioned several times that this is the course of the church's, not just Sunday worship, mm-hmm. kind of weekend worship.
Mm-hmm.
Following every weekend is a triduum of the 3 days of Holy Week there. Every weekend is. And so Christians are free to do this before church on Sunday.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. 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 If this is like something, a prayer that you could offer in your home, it would be absolutely wonderful. And you don't have to use the setting of the Te Deum that's there. Of course, the rubrics are clear. You can use any setting of the Te Deum. So if you want to sing the Starkey Te Deum, you know, we praise you and acknowledge you.
A
lot of our people love that setting, or the one in Matins. Or even one of the paraphrases like, Holy God, we praise your name. Just that's the Te Deum also. Any of those can simply be used at that spot.
So what's in store when we talk next time? We've been through the four big ones of morning and we did Compline too.
So five main services there. Next we're going to turn to, we're going to spend time with, I was thinking we would do the litany and suffrages or responsive prayers together, but I think that there's actually so much material on litany itself that we're going to spend a little bit of time on that. And then we are going to touch on what used to be called the suffrages and now called responsive prayer. And here's where the remnants of prime trickled over, and we'll deal with that.
So one more question before we let you go. We have these hours, and someone might say, you know, the church once had many more than we do now. Do you think these suffice? A morning, an evening, a bedtime? The one that we've talked about so far.
Sure, because if you use the other orders, if you fill out your day with, say, the litany for your sext office at noon and responsive prayer one in the morning and responsive prayer two in the afternoon, you filled out the entire cycle. And both of the responsive prayers and the litany all three provide for the expansion to be full, complete liturgies.
All right, we'll be talking about next time. We probably won't have time to get through anything more than the litany, but that's good. It's an excellent ancient way to pray. Pastor Will Whedon is Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Will, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you so much. It was my joy.
Folks, Father's Day is coming up, and you might have noticed on your calendar the coincidence between Father's Day and the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. We've actually scheduled the conference so that you can still have a Father's Day with your father or with your family and still attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference on the 14th and 15th of June, coming up very soon. It would make an excellent Father's Day present. To register your dad, your husband, for the Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference. It's right here in Collinsville, Illinois. It's June the 14th and the 15th. We'll let you go before Father's Day so you can be back home with your family. And the registration fee is $100 per person, includes three meals. Think about it as a Father's Day present. And you can register online, issuesetc.org. You'll look for the logo of the Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference. If you're having any trouble, if you have any kind of questions at all about the conference, call Craig right here in the studio, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. And we are looking forward to seeing you and meeting you at the Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference. By the way, Pastor Will Wheaton will be there, and he'll be making the case for classical Christian worship, among the many other guests that we'll have for your teaching and for your learning at the Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference. When we come back, we're going to be going into John chapter 3 with our pastor's roundtable. Jesus says you must be born again. And the first time these words are heard by Nicodemus, he doesn't understand. He makes it quite clear that he does not understand. I don't think he's being snide. I think he's being entirely sincere. He's reacting in a complete honesty when he says to Jesus, how can a man like me, who is old, return again to his mother's womb and be born again? But Jesus means what he says. We'll find out exactly what he does mean with our pastor's roundtable, Pastor David Kine and Pastor Joel Frischi, right after this in Hour 2.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler? Would you like to learn more about teaching students the essentials of biblical interpretation, law and gospel, or worldviews from a Lutheran perspective? Come join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 16th through the 18th at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, visit ccle.org. That's ccle.org.